Welcome back. This is 180. I'm Carl Clausen. It's great to have you with me today. In studio with me, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. Good to have you with me, my friend.
Carl, I'm glad to be here.
How's the church in West Chicago going that you pastor?
The Church Resurrection Anglican in West Chicago is growing, Carl, and I think it's your fault.
We're featuring truth on here, and people are getting fired up and want to know, who is this crazy George Koch?
And they come wandering over to my church, and they stay. It's terrific.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really pleased to hear that. That's really special. You've written What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy as you're listening, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. It's a great work. You don't even have to agree with everything in it, but you're going to be hard-pressed.
Wait, what?
Do they have to agree with everything in it?
No.
Okay, I was just checking.
No, they don't.
I know. You're just razzing me a little bit, and that's healthy for me. The Trinity. Why the Trinity? Let me expand on this a little bit. Why didn't God ever use the word Trinity? Why didn't the hymn show up in the Scriptures? God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Why? Why the mystery?
Well, Jesus actually did put all together in one place in Matthew 28.
That's right.
He told us that we were to make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're sure all together there in one sentence.
They are. And as I've been reading through the Old Testament, I think one thing we were touching on last week is that we've become digesters of seminars on Jesus. What'd Kierkegaard call it again? He says there's two doors.
Oh, two doors. One is God, and the other is lectures about God.
Lectures about God. So we've stood in front of the door, lectures about God, and we've not read the Word of God. But if you read the Word of God, I was really kind of setting us up here because the Trinity is everywhere in the Old Testament.
It's everywhere, and what's surprising is that it's even in the Shema. The Shema is the most foundational proclamation of Judaism. And the Shema in Hebrew is Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And what it means is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Jesus quotes this in one of the most important passages of the New Testament. Jesus himself says the Shema. And then he follows it with, after Hear, O Israel, the Lord
right.
our God, the Lord is
right.
one, he says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And this is the first and great commandment.
So good.
The second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus, the one we consider the second person of the Godhead, the second person of the Trinity, he himself quoted the Shema in his own teaching. So there's got to be something about this word echad, or one, in which there is a secret not quite so obvious, but there nevertheless.
We've attempted to define this forever. We hear about egg, we hear about parts of water, ice, steam, and liquid. But there's really no way to describe the Trinity fully, because we can't comprehend the interplay fully.
Nor never will we. I sometimes use the analogy, and I'm not trying to be trivial, of our family dog. And he has a relationship to myself, my wife, and my two boys.
Sure.
He knows that he's loved. He understands a few of our words. He follows my command more than any other. To him, I'm the father. I'm in charge. I'm the alpha.
Good.
He loves my wife more than he loves me. He loves both of my boys. But he will never understand the actual relationship among the four of us.
So it is with us.
So it is with us and the Trinity. We know what they reveal of themselves to us. We hear the words they say to us that they intend for us to understand. But that we would ever understand them in their intimate relationship, it's impossible. We're humans.
Why? What must we understand about the Trinity and why?
Well, the key here is to understand their relationship in this way, that they are in a constant, undying, mutually edifying, mutually loving relationship with each other. They glorify each other, and they work with and through each other. And it is in that image that we are made.
They're never competing.
Never.
They're constantly deferring. Jesus had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come.
No, and in fact, the kind of love that Jesus calls us to all the time, the Greek word for that is agape, it is not about warm feelings. It is a word which means to take action for the benefit of another. Warm feelings might follow that. In fact, I would proclaim that if you take action for your enemy, that very action for the enemy's blessing will ultimately cause you to fall in love with your enemy.
My guest right now, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. Get a copy. Go to whatwebelieveandwhy.com. We're talking about the Trinity right now. George, there's been a lot of discussion about modalism and other things. I don't want to get off in the weeds of that right now. We'll touch some base on that down the road. But there's a lot of theological circles that have drawn conclusions about the Godhead, and some people say it doesn't matter. What do you say?
Well, I would say, first of all, it's important to enter any conversation like that without hubris, because ultimately when we encounter the Godhead, we'll discover that it's different than what we believed.
You think?
Yeah, I think.
I know.
Nevertheless, the error of modalism, and something that we want to avoid, the idea there is that there is one God, I agree with that, but that he pretends. And that sometimes he acts like the Father, and sometimes he acts like the Son, and sometimes he acts like the Holy Spirit, but it's really just a person wearing different masks. The problem with that, as much as someone may want to assert that unity of God, the problem with that is it implies a fundamental fraud on the part of God towards his creatures.
That our God is deceptive.
Right.
So without modalism, we've got Trinitarianism. There's other forms as well. But what are some of the hidden blessings of Trinitarianism, the Trinity, that a lot of evangelicals just miss because we're knowledge brokering and we're not discovering God?
Well, probably the key one is that Scripture tells us that when we become believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. We become, if you would, temples of the living God. And we need to remember that each of the persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is in himself sovereign God.
And equal.
And equal. And so we have sovereign God living in us, and the genius of that sovereign God to help us live our lives as bar mitzvah, as sons of the commandments.
Yes.
Not because they are external to us and we look at a list and try to be obedient to it, but rather because the commands are written on our hearts and minds through the person of the Holy Spirit taking up residence right there.
I don't want to misquote who it was. I want to say it's R.C. Sproul, but one respected theologian I was listening to recently said that he believes that the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity, the God of the Trinity, that is almost most overlooked. We don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us.
I think that is a very accurate quote, and to our detriment. Why would we not want to engage in ever deeper relationship and submission to sovereign God living in us, given us as a gift when we believed in Jesus?
God in three persons, Holy Trinity.
Amen.
Dr. George Koch, everyone. It's called What We Believe and Why. Get a copy, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Pick it up. It's a great read. Jack Hayford, what did Jack Hayford say about this quickly?
Oh, he said, it's profound and unique. I heartily commend this book, a teaching source of timeless truth, much needed in these changing times.
Don't let it go to your head,
Thank
George.
Thank you, Dr. Jack.
Hey, if you want to hear more from George Koch, Sundays here on AM 1160 at 1 p.m. Great to have you with me, my friend.
Thank you, Carl.
180, your life, a new direction.